Jackson County is the only county in Oregon with a ban on genetically engineered crops. Voters put that law on the books in the May election of 2014, and it remains on the books just through a wrinkle in Oregon law because no other jurisdiction is currently allowed to pass a GMO crop ban in Oregon. That may change due to action currently going on in the Oregon legislature. A bill has been introduced. We'll talk about that in a moment. First, let's talk to some of the players in this. Elise Higley is a farmer herself and has been very active in getting a GMO crop ban passed in Jackson County. Elise, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we also have with us State Representative Pam Marsh in her first legislative session in Salem, representing the southern end of Jackson County and based in Ashland. Pam, thanks to you for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good to have you. Elise, you're a major mover behind Jackson County's GMO crop ban. What is the current status of it? There were legal challenges and all sorts of other things.
Yeah, well, everything is going really well. We actually set precedent and won in federal court over the right to farm law after hours of depositions. Magistrate Clark agreed that GE crops are a pure economic harm to traditional family farmers. So that felt really good to be acknowledged in the federal court, exactly why we were fighting the ban in the first place, or fighting for it. So, and then from there, we're just doing some economic studies on how we can use this ban that's in place, or we choose to call it a GMO-free seed sanctuary that we've put in place, to leverage that to kind of give economic gain and for the farmers that are growing seed here in the county and also in Josephine County.
And so remind people why Jackson County has a ban that stuck, and then Josephine County, which you just mentioned, also passed a ban, but that did not.
Right. So I'll explain it to you in my layman, non-legal terms. So there was a Senate bill that was passed, Senate Bill 863, that basically was part of a grand bargain that Kitzhaber helped initiate, and it was about government PERS. And so to get that bill passed, the seed bill was introduced as well. And when that passed, it basically took away all rights of Oregonians to vote on seed issues, which has been a local right since the foundation of Oregon, so 150 plus years. And at that time, we were lucky enough to have Senator Bates and Representative Buckley really looking out for Jackson County constituents and saying, hey, these people have this ballot measure coming up. Let's set the dates in a way that, you know, if on the chance this actually passes, let's make it count. So unfortunately, at the time, Josephine County did not have that representation. And so I just think it was an oversight, really, and we're trying to make that right now.
Pam Marsh, of course, is actually in the state legislature and is in a position to do something about that. I'm looking at a House Bill 2469 with your name on it and one other. What would the bill do?
What the bill would do is basically give other counties or entities throughout the state the opportunity to do just what Jackson County has done. And it would grandfather in the Josephine County election that's already happened. So we think, as Elise noted, that the opportunity to designate a full county or a corner of a county or some designated piece of an area as a GMO-free area is really an economic development issue, especially for our rural counties. We know that we're really working to support agriculture and to do that, talking about the quality of the product that we produce here in Oregon is a big marketing factor. So right now, because of the grand bargain that Elise described, we're preventing localities from being able to make those decisions for themselves. This bill would open up that potential again.
That's an interesting chunk you talked about there, though. So it actually would go back essentially in time and retroactively make Josephine County's ban take effect, which it has not been able to do.
Correct.
Okay. And so who are the co-sponsors with you? I see Paul Holvey's on here. Anybody else?
Well, Paula and I, Representative Holvey, who's been working on these issues for a very long time, got this going last year with help from our beloved Representative Buckley. And then when I came on, I signed up to help him with this because we know that this is a core issue for us in Jackson County. And we're beginning the process. I know Elise has been talking to other people. She's a wonderful advocate in the Capitol to get them to be interested in the bill and to potentially sign on.
We're talking about GMO-free crop zones in Oregon. Jackson County, at this point, is the only jurisdiction that has been able to pass an ordinance that stuck banning the growing of genetically engineered crops in the county. A state law, as you just heard, if it passes, House Bill 2469 would extend that to other jurisdictions as well. Pam Marsh is a state representative from Ashland. Elise Higley is a farmer and an activist working against GMO crops here and all around the region. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Elise Higley, the word seed appears four times in a three-line summary. Explain the importance of seeds here.
Well, if you eat food, seeds are really important. And if you're a farmer, they're important to your business as well. You know, we spend thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars, depending on how big your farm is, on seed every year. And so the more abundant seed supply we have and biodiverse seed supply we have means the better food that we can grow for people, and it is more economically viable for farmers. And it also is a great crop to grow out, because here, especially in Jackson County, where most farms aren't growing thousands and thousands of acres, you can actually make a really good living on a small amount of acreage growing out seed crops.
And I think, as you've explained this in the past, if there's any doubt about the integrity of your seeds, because there might be other similar crops that are GMO crops nearby, the seeds are essentially worthless for sale.
Right. Well, or you are really, really risky at your business, and you go ahead and spend 2 years of your time, you know, banking against all odds of science and nature, and you go ahead and grow out the crop, and then you get it tested, and then it doesn't, you know, it comes out that there's GE contaminants. It's under a federal patent law, it's illegal for you to sell the seed. So not only would your market not want the seed, but also you'd be breaking the law.
Elise, the bill gets very technical. I mean, with terms like vector-based recombinant deoxyribonucleic acid or ribonucleic acid techniques, that's one quote. The other one is in vitro nucleic acid techniques. Why so specific?
I think we're just trying to cover all our bases and making sure that there's no confusion with hybrids and things that have been, you know, going on for time. That's not what this is including. This is including only genetically engineered crops that are done in a science lab, different species with species. And so there are new GE crops coming out, or GMO crops coming out all the time, and different processes that have tried to kind of sneak out of the definition of genetically engineered. And so we're just covering all our bases on that end.
So essentially hybridization and cross-pollination in field conditions, grafting, I would think would be okay, but anything
right.
that involves laboratory manipulation.
Right.
All right. So is there some, I would assume you've got some farmer versus farmer tension in this issue, and I wonder what's the usual deciding factor? What makes one farmer anti-GMO and another one okay with genetic engineering?
Yeah, well, is that a question for me?
That is a question for you.
So the beauty of this bill is actually not about whether you're anti-GMO or pro, because it's really not what this is about. It just really is where the decision-making belongs. And so, you know, we saw in Jackson and Josephine County that with that huge, you know, landslide victory that both counties had, like, you know, 66% in Jackson County and almost 60 in Josephine County, with that bipartisan support, it wasn't that people were anti-GMO. It was that they didn't appreciate the fact that farmers were getting their rights taken away in their county to grow out crops that they deserve to be able to save seed for or sell since the beginning of time. And both sides, you know, science will agree that, you know, cross-pollination happens. So we kind of looked at where do we want to go in our agricultural community in the Rogue Valley. Do we want to promote GE seed production, or do we want to promote family farmers that are growing out seed and food for the local counties and beyond? And the seed supply is really at a national level. And I think that, you know, the voters really spoke to that. And so that's really kind of what we're focusing on, and that the reality is that because cross-pollination happens, we do need to kind of set up these pockets of GE-free zones so that we can continue to offer seed supply for the rest of the nation that's not able to do that kind of thing.
We are talking about genetically engineered crops here on the Jefferson Exchange and GE Free Crop Zones. Jackson County is the only ones currently allowed under state law in the state of Oregon. State law would allow other zones under House Bill 2469, which we're talking about with Elise Higley, who is a farmer and anti-GMO crop she's a pro-crop ban person.
I'm also the executive director for our family farm.
Right.
That's really what I do.
Right. We get the terminology inside out there a little bit. Pam Marsh is with us as well, state representative from Ashland, who has introduced the bill in the legislature. You can join us in the couple of minutes we have left. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Pam, you're brand new in the legislature. I wonder if you're already getting a strong sense of the players and the feelings on this issue.
Well, we're just starting to talk about this bill. I think what we're going to emphasize is just that discussion that you had with Elise, that this is about local control. It's about giving local governments the ability to control their own futures. You can feel however you feel about GMOs. Some people like them. Some people think they're a terrible idea. And setting that aside, you can appreciate the value to a community of being able to look at its agricultural community, look at the markets that they're playing to, and decide what fits best for that specific community. So it's really about enabling our local counties and communities to take control of their own decision-making.
I wonder if you're getting visits already from lobbyists and potential donors on this or any issues for that matter.
Oh, I'm getting lots of visits from lobbyists. Not so much on this issue yet. I think we'll start to hear it. It's been assigned to the House Agricultural Committee. So when we start to hear that the committee is taking action on it, I think we'll begin to get a lot of input. I know that advocates will be in strong force, and I'm sure we'll also hear from larger agricultural interests that are not so supportive.
And what parts of the state do you expect to hear from in terms of interest in creating GMO crop bans? And if this becomes law, will they be allowed to pass their own GMO crop bans?
Well, if it becomes law, yes, they will, if they choose to do so. And I think that's a really interesting question. You know, the fact is, I think there are some the eastern rural parts of the state could really benefit from doing something like this. We've read about some of the issues that have occurred with GMO grass that's gotten out of control in eastern Oregon. We know that the wheat crop, which is a significant crop in that part of the state, is extremely sensitive to GMOs. We had an issue a few years ago when a GMO source of wheat got loose, and our trade partners internationally, which is a big focus for the wheat crop, were not at all happy about that. They're looking for a pure product. So to circle back, I think there could be a great deal of benefit for those communities. Are they to a point yet where they recognize the value of that? I think that's a question.
Well, we should point out, too, that our California listeners are probably thinking, hey, we're going on this, too, because GMO crop bans have passed in Humboldt, Trinity, and Mendocino counties, just in our listening area, Sonoma, Marin, and Santa Cruz, elsewhere in California, and in Washington State, San Juan County and Hawaii County in Hawaii, which is Honolulu, maybe I'm wrong about that. I'll have to double check on that one. Anyway, crop bans in three other states in addition to in Oregon. Elise Higley, at Our Family Farms Coalition, I can imagine you've been contacted by at least a few people since the middle of 2014 and probably before that about instituting a GMO crop ban. How much contact have you had and from where?
Well, we definitely were advocates of Sonoma County, you know, passing their crop ban. And really, you know, our organization is just about helping farmers protect themselves against the threats of GE crops in whatever mode or method that seems best. It doesn't necessarily, you know, as Representative Marsh said, it doesn't have to be a whole county ban. Maybe it's crop specific. Maybe it's, you know, some other kind of solution. I think the idea is that the rights were taken away from Oregonians now, three plus years ago, and the state had promised to come up with a resolution for protecting against contamination from GE crops, and they've basically spent $150,000 of our taxpayers' money, put together a task force, talked about it for 6 months, and then have done nothing since. And so we're just purely asking for it to go back into the local agriculture community's hands and to let us deal with it at our own way. And especially with the budget cuts we're looking at right now, this is a bill that doesn't cost anything, and it'll take the pressure off the state to do anything, and we can move forward in creating traditional seed supply for our area and the rest of the nation and the world, for that matter.
Pam Marsh, just a few seconds left. Is a hearing scheduled at this point?
The hearing, I have not heard that the hearing is scheduled, but we will, if people keep in contact with our office, we will absolutely get that word out, and I know Elise will as well, as soon as we hear something definite.
All right, House Bill 2469 would allow other jurisdictions in Oregon to pass GMO crop bans, as Jackson County has. Elise Higley was behind that as the executive director of the Our Family Farms Coalition. Pam Marsh is brand new in the state legislature from Ashland, and yes, Hawaii County is the island of Hawaii. Thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much, Jeffrey.